Hump Day.
That's actually normally your line. I stole it. Sorry.
I think it was Ken's line.
It was Ken's line. Him. That's very true. Well, I was just keeping the tradition alive. Yeah. Welcome into the Wednesday edition of The Lowdown. We thank you so much for being here with us. Jason H.W. Ross, the excellence of execution, the best there is, was, and ever will be. The icon, the main event, and the showstopper all rolled up into one. The immortal Jason Ross. I am Damian Barling. Again, thank you so much for being here with us. Welcome to those listening in Northern California on the radio on Sports 1140 KHTK. Welcome to those listening on the KHTK app, on the TuneIn app, or anywhere in the world that you might be. And if you're in Los Angeles, man, God bless you. Those pictures that were floating around social media today, that looked like Los Angeles, but it looked like the set of a Hollywood movie. That those pictures of those fires going down there did not look real.
Mm-mm.
And
you're right.
So, you know, we're obviously as, oh boy, here we go. Y'all ready? Thoughts and prayers.
Yeah.
The old thoughts and prayers. We're sending our thoughts and prayers to,
this time we mean it.
Sacramento. This time it's for real. Sacramento secretly loves you, LA. No one will ever admit it.
Do they?
Come on. Yeah. No.
Yeah.
But come on.
No one will admit.
No, this is a time of just a lot of people like going to Los Angeles though.
I do. Well, I mean, yeah, that's where I grew up.
Oh, you're different.
Family. But
that's your home.
I guess I get why people don't like it.
No, it's they only dislike LA for what, one reason? The Lakers.
I bet you could get more reasons than that.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, regardless of whatever the reasons are, we're
still thinking of you.
We're sending those thoughts and prayers,
yes,
man, because that's that's serious stuff out there.
Yes, absolutely.
And goodness, if you haven't seen the pictures yet on Twitter or Instagram or whatever your social media platform of preference is, or if you go old school and actually go to websites, go see them, man. They're literally unbelievable. Absolutely unbelievable. The Sacramento Kings are not in Los Angeles tonight. They are in Cleveland. And we will have that game for you, of course, beginning at 4 o'clock. We'll have Kings Live coming your way. Special start time today of 3 o'clock. What time? What is this? Game nights at 2:30.
2:30 to 3:30.
And Kings then you're
Live
at 3:30.
3:30. Basketball at 4.
I'm useless.
No,
I'm telling you, I'm a useless.
Well,
human
you're
being
a little
sometimes.
Caught up. Because,
I'm a
you
little
know,
frustrated.
Today's a big day.
Well, yes, it is. It is a big day. The Sacramento Kings are playing for the Linear Championship.
Woo.
And that's where we're going to begin, because I'm a little frustrated with you.
Me?
Yes, you.
Yeah.
As I do on a daily basis, I listen to the Locked On Kings podcast this morning. Would you, Lowdown friends and family members, would you like to guess how many references Jason Ross made to the Lowdown Linear Championship tonight? Would you guys like to guess? Anybody? Bueller? Not one single reference to the Linear Championship tonight, Jason.
I was low selling it.
Explain yourself.
I'm waiting for the parade. I'm waiting to be the champ. But I guess I should have explained what was at stake for tonight.
Didn't even. I feel like, you know that scene in The Breakfast Club where Anthony Michael Hall's character says, like, if you see me in the hall, will you say hi, mm-hmm, or will you ignore me?
Right.
I feel like I'm Anthony Michael Hall and you're Molly Ringwald. And you're like, you got the big podcast that people listen to across the world, and you wouldn't even acknowledge our linear championship is on the line tonight.
I missed it. It was a big omission. I'll admit it.
Okay.
But I will not if the Kings win tonight.
So what would that make me in the Breakfast Club universe?
Oh, man.
You're in another movie.
Are you the janitor?
I got you.
That's the principal.
Yeah.
You know, there's only like six people in the whole movie.
That's true. There's not much going on in
there. There was not much of a payroll budget there,
right,
for the actors and actresses. And I mean, there were like random appearances at the end by, you know, someone's dad or whoever.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, no. Getting sidetracked early, folks. Actually, the text line is just full of reasons that have to do with Los Angeles. Look, we're trying to send love to LA. You guys need to love LA, or just send your thoughts and prayers to LA and hit mute on your computer, you stupid dope. Mm-hmm. Sorry about that. We'll get into some NFL stuff. The Giants have announced their starting quarterback.
I've heard of this guy.
He's they're evaluating the future. Spey, see what's going on. He'll start his new consecutive starting streak at one. We'll get to that later this hour. The Chiefs have announced Marcus Peters will not start for them.
No.
Not only will he not start, he's not playing. I think Andy Reid is, he's got a set of onions to pull that against the Raiders this week with your team being an absolute tatters. Wow.
Yeah, the guy who played in every play the last time they played is not playing tonight.
Mm-hmm.
Or, excuse me, Sunday.
Sunday, yeah. We will get to all of the NFL stuff. Jason and I will look at not only the Chiefs, the Raiders. We'll look at the entire American Football Conference at the top of the 1 o'clock hour. We didn't get to what's going on with Russia and in the Olympics. Mm-hmm. We'll touch on that just a little bit. Chris actually watched the Netflix documentary Icarus last night, which has been on my watch list for a long time. And last night, I should have followed Chris's lead. Last night was the perfect night to watch it with, you know, no real marquee basketball games on, no Kings games, no football, nothing to really pay attention to. I should have watched it last night, but with an early Kings start, I can try to get to that tonight. But let's start with that. The Kings, the Cavs for the Linear Championship tonight, Quicken Loans Arena in Cleveland. A lot of Kings fans just kind of monitoring chatter from Kings fans. A lot of people are still really perplexed by what's going on with Scal, Justin Jackson, the situation with Reno, Jack Cooley and Jorgis Papayannis being up on the main roster, if you will, being up on the Sacramento Kings roster and being here on this road trip that starts with Cleveland tonight and heads to New Orleans on Friday before coming back here with a game against Toronto. I feel like they're the experimenting is the only word that I felt like I could properly use in this situation.
Yeah, I guess. And it's weird because maybe some of the other guys, like the case of Justin Jackson, I mean, you know, he wasn't playing lately. Mm-hmm. So sending him to the G League kind of makes some, you know, like you could wrap your head around it and go, yeah, I guess I get it. I don't know that I think he should go there, but he's going to go there and he's going to play. Well, Scal was starting.
Yeah.
Now, starting, not starting is kind of irrelevant with this team, but he was getting every opportunity to play anywhere from 15 to 25 minutes a game. So he's getting reps against the best talent in the world. And another one of your young guys is out in Willie. So I honestly don't understand it at all for now. Mm-hmm. If it was Willie's healthy, maybe he's getting lost in the minute shuffle. We want him to play 35 minutes. Okay. But they kind of need him. They need more bodies. And he's not there. That's really an interesting move to me.
And then you mentioned, you know, Willie not being there. This seemed perfect. Seemed like the idea. But maybe they're looking at it. Okay, Willie's not here. This is the ideal scenario to get a look at Jorgis Papayannis or Jack Cooley or whatever with Willie not being able to play. Because we have a sample size, if you will, of Justin Jackson. We have a sample size, if you will, of Scalabissiere as well. So we're going to go in this direction. Though as I watch it, it still just feels like, let's put a little bit of this in here. Yeah. Let's put a little bit of that in there. And let's see if it works or if we accidentally blow up the chemistry lab.
Right. And, well, that's the thing, too. We've asked it almost from day one. We asked it to Garrett Temple. We've asked other people, what is the right way to develop players? And I don't know that there's a full blueprint, but we thought the year was going to be used primarily to see young players. As the year has gone on, I feel like we're seeing more of the veterans, and the veterans are having a bigger impact on each and every game. Zach Randolph, I would say, is playing the best basketball of any King right now. Garrett Temple has been incredibly solid. Costa does what he's asked to do. George Hill, a little bit up and down for my liking, but you know, and Vince Carter has come back to get the valuable 10 minutes he kind of provides. So it's weird the way it's laid out and played out a little bit, but I feel like they're doing this for a reason. It's just sometimes you can't always see it, see the reason.
Yeah.
It's hard to – I mean, I don't know that I have a good explanation for it. I don't know if you do. But it's just,
no, I don't. Like, my explanation was it feels like experimenting.
Yeah.
It feels like –
that's as good as any.
That's not an explanation. It's a guess on my part.
Right.
Because I have no idea.
That's all we're doing.
And – look, if you want to jump in on the conversation, and I'm already looking over here at the phone lines, please do. 44-1140, that's the text number, and 339-1140, 1-800-920-1140. You can connect with us all throughout the day. Should mention Sam Amick, our KHTK NBA insider from USA Today, will be with us at the top of the 2 o'clock hour. I think this is the thing that frustrates Kings fans a lot. Well, Kings fans are so split in that, oh, we're excited about the future. We're just, yeah, we're not going to win, guys. Then there's the, we're just tanking. We're not trying to win. We only got the draft pick. You know, they're totally inside baseball. They probably know the draft scenarios better than we do. And you got all that. And then there's the other group that's like, trade George Hill, get rid of Garrett Temple, get rid of Vince Carter, and get rid of Zach Randolph, and let's just play our young guys.
Play the kids.
Play them. And that's what they call them, is kids, yeah. Which drives me nuts.
Right.
Let's play the kids.
Yeah.
Let them get out there. Let the young fellas go. Let them work. And it's like, well.
Sure. You sure you want to see that?
It's because we've seen it.
Once, but yeah, it was not pretty.
It didn't go well.
No, it did not.
And I don't imagine.
I would think it would go like that more often than not.
I don't think three or four of those in a row is going to go over very well. But I don't know what the right answer would. When you have a team that is so clearly can't win now, and don't misunderstand me. I'm not saying they're not trying to win. This team cannot win right now. They're not talented enough to win right now. I don't know what the right approach is, and I don't envy Dave Yeager's position one single bit, right? Because I don't know what the right approach is. This is how you find out like Brent Brown, I think, should go down as a Hall of Fame coach just for what he's been able to do in Philadelphia in keeping his team composed. This is where you find out how great coaches are.
Right.
In that, how do you manage a season when there are zero expectations and zero belief that you're going to win? How do you manage a season when you know in the back of your head, or perhaps in the front? We don't know. But one way or another, you know your draft situation over the course of the next few years. And you know you are more likely to build through the draft than anything else. I don't know what the right approach is for this. I don't know what Dave Yeager's mindset could possibly be. But whatever Dave Yeager's salary is, he's going to earn it this year.
Mm-hmm.
Because this is a really delicate situation for him to manage, and I don't envy him at all.
Yeah, I'm with you again, because we're all going to be very – I know fans can be critical of it, and we've been critical at times, like, well, I'm not sure I don't know that I understand it either, but I don't know that I would have – I mean, I really try sometimes to put myself in the shoes of the coach and the organization. All right. What would you do? What's the plan? What is the best way? I don't see it as,
and I
this
think,
is the blueprint.
I think I just laid out the three scenarios that you would get if you asked 10,000 Kings fans at the goal. You would get one of the three answers.
Absolutely.
Get rid of all the veterans. Play only the young guys.
Okay.
Keep doing what you're doing. Just sit back and enjoy.
Yep.
Or tank.
Yeah.
Because we don't have because we don't have a pick for whatever, you know, 2 years from now.
Yeah.
That I think those are the three responses you get. I don't think there's a middle.
Right.
I don't think there's a, guys, we got to go win now. Like, what? With who?
Yeah.
What are you talking about?
Right. Even if you played exclusively what you thought was the veterans and your best chance to win, that group's not making the playoffs. Playing just the younger players, that group's not making the playoffs. But how can you best develop the young guys that you think will be a part of your core? And I think they believe it's with veterans, sprinkling in the young guys.
The texts are rolling here at 44-11-40. We got one that says, I'm the they're tanking fellas guy.
Hmm.
We got one that says, I'm in the camp of getting rid of the veterans. KC, what do you think, my man?
Hey, guys, how you doing?
Good.
So my opinion, for the last 2 years, I think Dave Yeager's rotation has been terrible. And I mean, it's up to him who he plays, but I think you got to play a consistent number of minutes every night. The guys have to know what they're going to get. They can't be afraid to get pulled out, and you got to know what you're going in, that you're going to get your 20 minutes or you're going to get 25 minutes. And I don't know how Justin Jackson goes from starting to being on the bench and not getting any minutes and then to the D League. And now Scal goes from starting to the D League. Like, that doesn't make any sense. How do you go from starting to the D League instead of starting, then you go to the bench and you get less minutes? I don't understand that.
Yeah, that's fair. I mean, it's a big question. I mean, I know we get caught up, Damian, in the starting coming off the bench. This team, I almost think that's, you know, replaceable. I come off the bench. I might play. I'm the bench. It's the best scoring bench in the NBA.
Yeah.
It's the worst starting scoring group in the NBA.
And the bench, but the second, I'll go back to a line that someone said to us yesterday, and I'm sorry that I'm forgetting the name of the person who said it, but he said there's not a big talent difference.
There's not.
Between the starters and the bench. And how many I mean, you look at the Kings box scores on a night-to-night basis, which we do, and we go over them daily. The bench is generally playing 24,
yeah.
5 minutes. The starters are generally playing 24 to 25 minutes. You're not going to find that on another team out there.
Yeah, there's not much difference, honestly, between like last year's team and this year's team. Last year we could go, well, Rudy starts on a lot of teams. DeMarcus starts on every team. Mm-hmm. This group? Yeah. I don't know. Probably a case by case. Oh, maybe this team would start Zebo. Maybe this team would start George Hill. But I don't know.
It's most not. Teams who draft fit, De'Aaron Fox is probably starting but playing substantially more minutes than he does yeah. here. That's a guess.
No,
I don't know that for
guess,
sure,
though.
But
that's
I think
fair.
I think when you're talking about one through, particularly one through five, that person is being brought in unless you have a Boston Celtics situation, which you generally don't. That player is being brought in to play right this
yeah,
second
in a ton of minutes,
and that's it yeah. right there. Sam, thanks for the call, my man. What do you got?
Hey, so just wanted to talk about the whole Gal going to G League and just Justin Jackson and stuff like that. I mean, you guys are talking about the three types of fans. I'm definitely the second one where I'm just sitting back, coach do whatever he wants to do. But isn't this killing their confidence? I mean, I feel like this game is such a mental game where if you don't have confidence, you're not going to play well. And especially with Scal, like, he was getting a lot of minutes, but he was foul trouble, things like that. Like, I could see the frustration from him, but I just don't see this being a positive move. But, again, I don't know what their future plan is, or I don't know what's going on. But I'm just worried about the confidence of our young guys.
You know what, Sam? That's a good point. We appreciate the call and always appreciate you listening, man. Thank you so much for that. It's a great point because it was brought up by – I think it was Bobby Marks was one of the first ones to put it out there, who we've had on the show, former general manager of the teams. Like, you understand the process a young team is going through. But you also get worried about bad habits.
Mm-hmm.
And I think what Sam was alluding to right there, you get used to losing. And you never want that.
Yeah, but are they losing confidence? Like, for example, Papagiannis is coming back. Now, he's barely played this year, right? And I told you yesterday, I thought, if he's really given the minutes, I think he could be close to a double-double guy. Now, I'm not calling 25 and 15, but I think he would be close to that. Well, right now, he's third in the G League in rebounding, over 10 rebounds a game. I feel like that coming back gives him some confidence. Justin Jackson's first game at the G League, I think he scored 25. Probably the next time he's up here, he'll probably feel good about his game. So you could almost argue that maybe it helps you, even though the initial move going to the G League may feel like, hey, they don't think much of me. My feelings are hurt.
So you are significantly more of an optimistic guy mm-hmm. than I am.
Right.
So let me present a different scenario for you. So you got, let's say, Scal and Justin Jackson going down there in Reno, and they're killing it, and they're playing 35 minutes, and they, you know, hey, 28 points here, 15 rebounds here, 29 yeah. points here. But then they come back, and they play 10 minutes,
mm-hmm.
and they get one shot and 2 points.
Right.
Does that kill their confidence?
That might, but I think that would have happened here regardless if they never went. You know, that could have happened. They didn't get sent to the G League, and they got their opportunity and scored 2 points in 10 minutes starting or off the bench. I mean, they both have done that.
Or what if they come back? What if they come back here and don't play? You right. know what I mean? Is it like at some point do you ask, you sent me down there to do something. Did you guys see what I did? Because I did it. Like, that's what you wanted, right?
Mm-hmm.
And now I'm here, but you're still not playing me.
Right.
There's no situation whether it's Scal or Justin Jackson or you send freaking De'Aaron Fox and Zach Randolph to Reno. There's no situation where I think any of this in the long run is going to matter.
Right.
I think what Dave Yeager or Vlade or whoever is in charge of these moves is just moving pieces around.
Mm-hmm.
To fit guys onto rosters for certain lengths of time.
Yeah.
So you have, they play every other day now, I think, right? It's Wednesday,
yeah.
Friday, and then
Sunday.
So they play every other day now for the next, you know, 6 days or so. Okay, so that's an opportunity for Jorgis not only to play, and Jack Cooley as well, and whoever else is on the roster at this point. It's not only their opportunity to play, it's their opportunity to play multiple times, travel, get back home, play again, all in a very short period of time. It's basically their opportunity at NBA life.
Mm-hmm.
This is it's one thing to bring a guy up in, You know, you play one game and then you have 6 days off and you practice or whatever the case is. It's another where you have to play three games in a relatively quick fashion. And if you're a big, you have two of the best bigs in the entire league going up against you on Friday.
Right.
And I do worry about that because you brought this up yesterday. We saw Jorgis Papagiannis against DeMarcus Cousins before.
It wasn't pretty.
Mm-mm.
Yeah.
And what if you get another year where that's
– right.
Like Sam's question about confidence is fine.
It is.
Because if DeMarcus and or Anthony Davis annihilate Jorgis Papagiannis again – that's now I'd start to blame Vlade or Jaeger, whoever makes these calls. I'd start to blame them. It's like, why did you put him in this position?
Mm-hmm.
Why did you do that? Because that was completely unfair to him. You had already seen it once. Like, what did you see that made you think it would be better the second time? Jump in here, Greg.
What's up, guys?
Hey, Greg.
Hey, I just wanted to give my take on the whole G League thing. I think a lot of it has to do with the fact that the Kings, you know, the organization and the fan base is so interactive together on, like, all the social media platforms and whatnot. You know, if they didn't send players down and call players up and give them time to develop, you know, fans are in an uproar. Well, what's the point of having, you know, the G League if we're not utilizing it, yada, yada, yada. Well, they utilize it, but I don't think they're using it the right way. Like, I understand Cooley, you know, when Giles gets healthy to play, he's down there playing and getting his legs and getting everything back underneath him. But to me, it's almost like a false sense of confidence for the guys that they keep juggling. Because, you know, Papagiannis last year, he was with the Kings for every home game. And when the Kings went on the road, he went back to Reno and played, but he never played at home. And this year, it's like, sure, you're sending them down to the G League. They're putting up big numbers, and they come up here and they don't do well. It's a lot like when you're playing, you know, summer basketball at home, you're playing your little brother, your little cousin, and you're just running them off the floor every single time. And then you play big brother who's home from college and you get your butt handed to you. The only way you get better is by playing big brother and taking your knocks. You don't get better playing little brother. If the Kings really want to develop Scal and Justin Jackson, you got to leave them up playing against big brother in the NBA. We're not winning games this year. What's the point of sending them down to fine-tune their game against someone that may be inferior when they're just going to get handed to them when they're playing someone that's better than them? You get better by playing the better player.
Thanks, Greg. Yeah. We appreciate that, my man. Good stuff.
Some
thanks for listening.
There, yeah.
Yeah, thanks for listening. Thanks for the call. I think one thing that's worth pointing out, too, and this is the conversation we're having on the text line at 44-1140, is also the D-League hasn't been utilized very well. And so the D-League does look like a demotion of sorts. It looks like the minor league aspect of all of this. And, you know, I'm looking at this text right here. It's a string of a bunch of them, but I'm just going to read the one that caught my attention the most. The D-League is there for a reason. That is to develop and evaluate talent, and right now Scal isn't cutting it at the NBA level. Fine. My response, name a Sacramento King that is.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not talking about the veterans. Name a young Sacramento King that is. Because if you say De'Aaron Fox, we can pull up some of De'Aaron Fox's box scores if you'd like. We can watch the tape of the Washington film if you prefer. Just name one that is. So, one. Yes, Reno's there for a reason. But what? Like, right. What is the actual reason Reno is there? Because the NBA, I don't think, has properly established that yet. Hang tight if you have some questions. We'll talk NBA. We'll continue this conversation. Big night for Bradley Beal last night. Oklahoma City gets back to winning. And we'll talk more of your Sacramento Kings here on Sports 1140. Couple of thoughts here, Jay Ross, before we roll along. I had posed a question. We had gotten that text saying Scal wasn't cutting it. The NBA, Reno's not a bad trip for him. D-League's not a bad trip for him. I said, okay, who has been cutting it in the NBA? And I did get two names that I'll concede to. I think Bogdan has done very well with the time that he's been on the floor. This one gets a little asterisk next to it, but Frank Mason as well.
Yeah.
My timeline could be wrong, and I'm having this conversation now on the text line. Did Frank Mason really started playing after Jaeger made that remark about, I'm looking for guys to step up and say they want minutes?
Yeah.
I don't envision a scenario where Frank Mason said, hey, coach, pick me.
Right.
But something happened there to where Frank Mason started playing a lot. And I feel like his time has been more limited than the rest of the roster. But I've very much enjoyed what I've seen from him.
Yeah, and when they added him to play more, it actually did hurt Justin Jackson. They don't play the same position, but it gave another guard decent amount of minutes, and so that kind of hurt Justin Jackson. Also, Vince Carter's return hurt him. But Mason, I feel better about the young perimeter players than I do about the young bigs.
Yeah.
You know, whether that's Mason, Fox, Hield, Bogdanovich, Justin Jackson, kind of the five youngest perimeter guys, I feel like they will be fine. Mm-hmm. I don't know about Yorgos. I don't know about Willie and Scal. Feel better about Willie, but
Willie, Giles, you could feel great about Willie, you know, last week or yesterday.
Yeah, it's fluid.
By the time the Raptors game is over, you'd be like, dude,
what's wrong with Willie?
What is wrong with him now? Like, right. What happened?
Yeah, and they've been more inconsistent, I think, than the young perimeter guys, but they've been inconsistent too.
Yeah, Dan, thanks for the call, man. What's on your mind?
Hi guys. So one thing I don't like about the way Jaeger coaches, you remember that Golden State game that the Kings won a couple weeks back?
Yeah, we remember.
I was watching that with a buddy of mine who's a Warriors fan, and Scal got the start, and in the first 6.5, 7 minutes, he had 7 points, 4 rebounds, and 2 blocks. And my buddy's like, yo, Scal's killing us tonight. And Jaeger pulls him out, doesn't put him back in for the rest of the first half, plays him 5 minutes to start the third, and that's it. Mm-hmm. So I would love to see when one of your young guys is stepping up, actually play him that game.
Yeah.
You know, basketball is such a confidence game. If a guy's having a good game, he goes away from them. I remember a game where George Hill was doing George Hill things and scoring 0 points. Bogdanovich was 5 for 6 in the first half. Start Bogdanovich in the third quarter. You know, you don't have to stick with the same starting lineup if you have a young guy playing well.
Sure.
I think that makes a lot of sense.
It does.
I see it all the time.
Yeah, it does. And I'm not going to defend Dave Jaeger or anything like that, but I will say in Dave Jaeger's defense, and I think in the defense of a lot of coaches, some coaches coach by a clock. And Dave Jaeger might be one of those guys who coaches by a clock. He has his starting lineup set. He plays that group for this amount of minutes, and this guy is the first one off his bench, and maybe the names of the guys that come off the bench changes. But I'd be curious if the time that he puts guys in and out of the game changes. A lot of coaches do that.
Yeah, but don't talk about making these young players earn their minutes and deserve their minutes, because when they play well and they deserve more minutes, he doesn't give it to them.
No, and that's very fair, Dan. We appreciate you, man. Thanks for the call. Thanks for your thoughts. And most of all, thank you so much for listening. It's the Kings and the Cavs tonight.
Linear championship.
For the linear championship. This thing's got to catch on like mid-range city did.
Yeah.
We got to make sure this is trending. We'll throw a massive party tomorrow on the lowdown if they win.
And see how long they can hang on to it if they do win. Because the thing is,
because if they do, you know who their first title defense is
against. Yes, they do, against DeMarcus and the Pelicans. And if they don't, then you wonder, when will they get a chance to play for it again? I was looking at it today. I would say by standings, the best team in the NBA right now that has not been a linear champ this year.
San Antonio?
No, they had it briefly.
Did they?
Yeah, briefly.
I tweeted out a picture of Jason's hard work about who has had the linear championship. I see they did. They beat the Hornets for it.
Toronto. Who is funny, the Kings play later this week and actually a week after that, too.
Okay.
But that's probably record-wise the best team, but it's just kind of funny to see who's had it and how long. And Miami's had it for a little bit, but not all of this 12-game win streak. I think it's been about 3 games for them.
You can follow us at Damian Barling and at Jason Ross 1140 on Twitter. The Warriors obviously came in as the champions. The Rockets took it on night 1 of the NBA season, and then the linear championship goes to the Grizzlies, the Mavericks, the Grizzlies again, the Hornets, Spurs, Bucks, Mavericks, Celtics, to the Miami Heat, and the Cleveland Cavaliers beat the Heat. It will be defended against the Sacramento Kings tonight.
And this is a
real thing.
Yeah, just the second time the Kings have even played for it. They did that opening night, first game of the year against the Rockets, played well. We didn't know it. We didn't know it was that big of a game at the time.
If they win, we got to shoot like, We tried to get Doug to do it yesterday.
Yeah.
But Doug is a sucker and he wouldn't do it. So we have got to get like Jason Jones or James Hamm or one of those guys to ask a player or someone with some real onions, ask Dave Jaeger about being the reigning and defending. I think Jason Jones would do it.
Yeah, oh,
because Jason Jones is a wrestling fan.
Yeah.
He would ask, maybe not Jaeger, but maybe he'd ask a player about being the reigning defending linear champion.
Okay, we've talked about it enough. Do you think Garrett's hip to this when we talked to him this week?
No.
No?
I don't.
You don't think so?
No.
All right.
But it would be awesome if they won tonight, because we're probably going to have Garrett on tomorrow.
Yes.
If we don't have him on tomorrow, it'll be Friday, but we'll probably have him on tomorrow.
Yeah.
Scheduling note, by the way, we will low down. You guys are going to have to wake up early on Friday.
Us too?
Well, yeah.
We're gonna
do the lowdown AM edition on Friday and Monday.
What was that?
Well, a little test run. JR, what's up, buddy?
Hey, I don't even want to see what you guys look like in the morning that early.
As ever.
Jason's hair is spectacular at 6 a.m. I'm going to tell you that right now.
Right after the perm.
Three strands on the back.
I still perm all of it.
Hey, so we got to get serious here. I know we have a new MLS team coming to town, but let's start designing these the parade route. I mean, we got to get the parade route down, because we're going to really need to make sure we cover all the city places that are important to see the Kings.
Where do we start, JR?
We probably start, let's see here. We got, probably the Capitol building.
Okay.
We want to, move the protesters out of the way, because I'm sure somebody will be protesting something. We get them to join the bandwagon. And, of course, we put Carmichael Dave on a big ladder.
Of course.
He'll probably want to take full credit for the championship.
Yeah.
So I'm just going to say it now. Carmichael Dave is banned from the parade.
Oh, he's
banned from the parade.
He's the guy with the baton in the front of the parade.
Okay, I will allow that. Allow that.
But the problem is they'll probably put it in the corner like they did in Animal House, and everybody will crash into the end of the alley. But that's okay. Hey, this might be the most work I think I've seen Jason ever do.
By far.
What?
By far.
Well, I thought you said up to now, up to this point.
Anyway,
I'm very impressed with your work, J-Ross. I think you have a future in this business. Talk to you soon.
Thanks, JR.
It's your boy, man. He always knows right when I'm about to pull the plug on him. Like, he always knows, because he knows, okay, I'm going to get it in. I'm going to get it in right here. Bradley Beal.
51.
Bradley Beal went for 51 last night,
yeah.
A night after the Washington Wizards.
Explain that.
They lost by 47 points to the Utah Jazz. And then Bradley Beal, he says, I've been thinking way too much. Tonight, I was playing freely and having fun. Yeah, it's amazing how fun basketball is when that little ball goes through the basket. But, 51 points for him last night. Most ever scored against Portland by an opposing player. And his obvious career high for Bradley Beal.
Yeah.
No John Wall, by the way, if you're not paying attention to the Washington Wizards. John Wall's been out for a while.
Which I would have said, you need more Bradley Beal. I didn't expect 51, though. Yeah. And to come back from what they did in Utah the night before. I mean, that was really a good win for them. And they were in control of that game the whole time.
Well, there's something to be said about getting your butt kicked.
Yeah.
Man, because that's a hell of a way to bounce back. Oklahoma City got back to winning. Russell Westbrook got back to triple-doubles. They've won a couple in a row here. We'll continue. We'll shift to the NFL. There's breaking news coming in from the NFL. Somebody, everybody's favorite commissioner, has signed his contract extension. Straight from the desk of Jerry Jones. We'll explain next. Well, it's good to be the commissioner. Welcome back in. If you want to be a part of the conversation, 44-1140. On the text line, 339-1140, 1-800-920-1140. That was great defense by CJ on Bradley, LOL. Yeah, I watched a good portion of that game. What the heck is the linear championship? Are you kidding me right now, guys? Come on, that's on the text line. I thought everybody listened for 3 hours a day, 5 days a week.
That's right.
All right. So real quickly, the linear championship is when, basically, if you treated every game of the NBA season like a championship game. So the Warriors walked in as the NBA champs, right?
Yeah, because they were
the reigning
champs.
When you beat the champs that you're the champion.
Yeah.
That's how it works. It's how it works in boxing, how it works in wrestling, how it works in UFC, MMA. So the Warriors entered the season as the MMA champion. The Rockets immediately beat them in week one. Therefore, the Rockets are the reigning, defending, linear champion. And then when you follow it from there, the Grizzlies beat the Rockets. The Mavericks beat the Grizzlies. We just ran through it, so on and so forth. The Cleveland Cavaliers are right now the linear champions, which means your Sacramento Kings have the opportunity to win a championship tonight.
Tonight, yeah.
And I'd argue this is more prestigious than the NBA Finals.
I agree 100%. Get all in, everybody.
Why not?
Yeah.
Like, what other championship are you going to win?
Yeah.
Play along. Have fun with it. Roger Goodell's having fun to the tune of $200 million. Roger Goodell's contract extension has been signed.
Was Jerry at this meeting?
Well, I can read you this line.
Did he give him the pen?
Did Roger Goodell hold up his signed contract like Donald Trump does those bills that he signed? Does he do that?
I hope so.
Oh, I hope
just
so
for the
too.
Bit part.
Oh,
of it.
It'd be great with Jerry standing behind him with his hand on his shoulder,
and then the internet could take over what they would really write in on those pictures. And,
like it says, "I hate Jerry."
Yeah,
and he's showing it around. I think that'd be fantastic.
Please, no more protests.
You stand up! Exclamation point. By the way, seems like a good time to congratulate Colin Kaepernick for winning the Muhammad Ali Legacy Award.
I saw that.
Send your hate tweets to me at 44 1140 or at Damian Barling. The memo says. The existence of, and this is a quote, Jason, to try to answer your question, a nearly unanimous consensus. I want to repeat that because I don't think those words go together. A nearly unanimous consensus. So almost everybody was in.
Which then goes, how many weren't?
Mm-hmm. A nearly unanimous consensus among the owners in favor of finalizing the extension now. The competition committee received unanimous authorization from the owners in May. Since then, Jerry got his panties in a bunch, and he got a little upset because he suspended his running back.
Yeah.
And he sent Papa John's out to get him.
That's right.
By the way, we haven't gotten any quarterly updates from Papa John's.
Oh, okay.
Wonder why.
Yeah.
Strange. I'd like to look that up as well.
Any other interesting little nuggets or details from this said contract?
I just have the original report from Florio on there. Do you have? Oh, here's some more.
What did you see?
There's a headline. Another one from Mike Florio that says extension of Roger Goodell deal limits Jerry Jones' options. Do you have some interesting notes from the contract?
No, I just remember from what was being reported before about
in terms
the guarantees,
of the, jet.
The jet, all these different things he was asking for.
None of that stuff looks to be revealed. Cowboys owner Jerry Jones seemed to be under the impression that the owners would have one last chance to debate the proposed contract extension. You know what? That's funny because I remember Jerry on that awful talk show that he has in Dallas – said there's a meeting on the 13th, I think, December 13th, in which he said all owners were going to be able to air their grievances. There's going to be, I think the term that he used was a good airing out session regarding Roger Goodell and the state of the NFL.
Well, how's that going to go now?
Yeah, I'm wondering if Jerry's hey, what happened to our airing out session?
I made food. I'm bringing drinks.
Oh, come on. You know he didn't make it.
Of course not.
He's paying for the food to be made. I know the reoccurring theme here on the text line is, did he get the jet? I don't think anyone I can't find there. It doesn't seem to be reported yet as to whether he got the jet or not.
He did, just with no pilot.
No pilot and no gas. He got an actual jet.
Yeah. He's going to have to drive it around.
Where do you – like, does he go buy a house like Travolta's? Like, does he have a runway?
He probably has everything. He was making that amount of money even before this contract. I mean, what is it, 5 years, $200 million?
That's it.
Wow.
Not bad work if you can get it.
Yeah.
Not bad work if you can get it. Now I'm trying to find the details of this, but I'm guessing that's not going to be reported. I think the thing that will be reported, because it would likely really piss off players, is the health insurance for life.
Yeah.
Because, one, if you're making $200 million, you can afford Cobra or whatever you buy.
Right.
Whatever you get. But if he gets health insurance for life and the freaking players don't, I think the players might have something to say
about
that.
Oh, they definitely would.
Text line is thinking along the lines of Huey was setting up a potluck so they can air things out. I wonder if Jerry even knew there was a meeting today.
I know.
He was like, I thought this was the 13th. What? I am now I want to hear Jerry Jones on his stupid show in Dallas. I want to know, like, is he he has to be pissed. I don't imagine he knew. Because if it was unanimous, it would have said unanimous. But it wasn't. It was near unanimous, which leads you to believe the near is Jerry.
Yeah, Jerry is trying to extend the extension further along so that he could still have the airing out at the potluck.
Right. The first annual Jerry Jones air it out potluck.
Yeah.
More NFL news. The Chiefs, who are playing your Oakland Raiders this weekend in Arrowhead, have announced that Marcus Peters will not be playing against your Oakland Raiders this weekend at Arrowhead. And that is a gutsy move by Andy Reid to make that call now.
Slip sliding away. What is going on with the Chiefs? That whole thing was confusing because he claims what? I mean, we saw the play. It's a great highlight, a funny play.
It's fantastic.
He throws the flag into the stands. But he thought he got tossed, and he wasn't. And then he comes out, and I don't know what he did with his socks, but he ditched his socks, and he was done. He was done.
Yes, we were having a conversation. They must have been some sort of compression socks.
Right.
Because they had to have been really hard. Or did he throw them in the laundry and he didn't want to pull them back out?
It takes too long to put them back on.
Right. That's what I mean. If you've ever put compression socks on, it's a process. And you have to trust it. You have to trust the process. He must have thought, man, I'm just going out there with my cleats. I could go out there. And it's amazing how strange it looked.
Yeah.
It looked absolutely bizarre with Marcus Peters out there with what essentially amounted to, like, short capri pants and no socks and cleats.
Nice legs.
What are you doing? But is this a stand you really want to take if you're Andy Reid?
I know, like, at the time, and you already have question marks there. They're desperate to get Darrelle Revis last week, and you're going against, if there is a strength of the Raiders' offense, it can be that receiving core. Yeah, very dangerous time to do that.
Oh, I'm sorry. That was the sound of Raider fans giving a crap.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah, Raider fan.
Who
hey,
cares?
Cool. You know what? You might want to suspend a couple of more guys while you're at it. Just have them sit out. But man, for a team that's 6-6, and when you look across the league, boy, Marcus Peters is a damn angel. When you look across Week 13 of the NFL season, any other week, Marcus Peters tossing the flag. I thought it was funny. I realize that that's irresponsible of me. Legit, when I see it, it makes me laugh because it's a kid throwing a temper tantrum, and I've done that before.
Yeah,
I probably have done it within the last week, but it makes me laugh. Hey, you can't say Andy Reid doesn't try to discipline his team.
Say
that.
Can you imagine? There's probably some way that this is listed out somewhere on a memo or where they keep track of suspensions, and so there are Week 13 suspensions, and you see like Gronk. Egregious late hit, Juju Smith-Schuster, mm-hmm. Leading with whatever, on all these things listed.
Oh, Ioka, by the way, not suspended.
Flag.
By the way.
Which one?
George Ioka.
Oh.
His appeal was overturned down to a fine. Okay. Now, when you look at, and I know people think the Juju Smith-Schuster hit was a lot more clean. It was the cleanest of the hits. The precedent for a helmet-to-helmet hit, especially for a first-time offense, is a fine. So I think that's what they went, and that's what Troy Vincent was saying. I don't know. He did an interview with someone either this morning. I don't know if it was a radio interview or it was a print interview or what it was, but I saw some quotes from him, and he said, well, we continue to be fair, and he got called out quite a bit for these punishments being inconsistent and the punishments not fitting the crime. He was insisting that they've been fair in their punishments, and the Ioka overturn goes along with what is generally given out in that situation.
Mm-hmm.
Juju Smith-Schuster was not overturned. He is suspended for sure, and Rob Gronkowski is suspended for sure as well. Of course, today there's articles again from Pro Football Talk talking about the NFL may look to adopt a targeting rule similar to college.
Okay.
Now, I know that the NFL has been monitoring how the target, because the target rule in college is new.
Yeah, and I don't like it.
What don't you like about it?
Safety has to happen. Agree with that 100%. The way it's executed right now in college, and it hit Sac State and the conference really pretty hard. If it's called it's reviewed.
Right.
That's great. You should. And if it's confirmed, because it's one of those that you have to overturn, if it's confirmed, you're thrown out of the game. I feel like there should be a point system. Not that you need to get a bunch of them, but almost like one technical. You're warned. You get a free throw. You get some points. There's some sort of benefit to the other team. You get a second. Okay, you've got an issue.
So my problem with that is, like, let's use the George Ialoka. You're in the final seconds of that game or final minutes, and Big Ben leading to tie. You know you haven't committed a foul. You have the opportunity. I mean, I'm using the term foul. You haven't committed a personal foul penalty. You have the opportunity to take out Antonio Brown with little to no penalty for it.
Oh, I'm not saying the penalties is a one-game existence.
Okay.
Like, you know, if you've done it once, there's something maybe twice, then a game.
I see.
Because the way it was
throughout
working.
The season.
Yeah, the way it was working in college, it's unequal in the suspension. For example, Sac State had a player that had a targeting call 90 seconds into the game. So he's out the rest of the game. You have to miss a full game. Okay. The same team they played, Northern Arizona, player got it in the final 2 minutes of the game. He sat the rest of that game and the first half of the next game. And I went, well, that's, I mean, again, you want to, player safety is the most important. I get that. I'm fine with that. But I just think the execution of how they can, I would almost rather see referees throw the flag and say, you know, illegal hit. Mm-hmm. And then review with an upgrade to targeting, as opposed to if you call targeting and you can't dispute it, then it's targeting and the guy's thrown out.
Jason and I will look at the American Football Conference, the AFC, next when we kick off hour number two of the Lowdown.